7:18 a.m. We are joined on our newsmaker line by the very best Washington correspondent in the country, national political editor for the Tennessee Star and the Star News Network, Neil W. McCabe. Neil, I have to tell you, I watched your appearance last night analyzing the primaries on frankspeech.com with Brandon House. That was very, very interesting. And the two of you have a really great chemistry back and forth. It was very entertaining. So thanks for that, Neil W. McCabe.
Well, I really enjoyed being on with Brandon. He has a nice flow to his show. I really enjoyed his show, too.
So, Pennsylvania primary, North Carolina primary. Where do we stand in all of this back and forth?
Well, you know, I compare this sort of interregnum that we're in right now with Donald J. Trump to what was going on with Reagan from 76 to 80, because Reagan was also sort of in that same spot because he came so close to taking the nomination from President Ford. And I just don't think there is any comparison to Reagan's influence in the 1978 midterms to what Trump is doing now. It's just a complete dominance of the party. There were like 10 people running against Reagan in the New Hampshire primary. Trump probably will have like one or two sort of weirdo candidates going up against him, but nothing really serious. And so each primary is no longer a case of who is the candidate or what are his policies. It's a referendum on Trump, and I think Trump won again last night, especially if Dr. Oz holds on in Pennsylvania, and the surprise senatorial nomination of Ted Budd, who came really out of nowhere, out of the House Freedom Caucus, to take on Mark Walker and the North Carolina Republican establishment.
Yeah, and by the way, Ted Budd, endorsed in North Carolina by Donald Trump, he stomped his opposition. Walker was a kind of a rhino congressman, and then McCrory, the former governor. But it was like, I don't know, 45-25 easily, an easy victory for Ted Budd. Now, Neil, you see a couple of reports in the mainstream media saying, oh, as Trump lost his magic, because for two reasons, and I'd like to get your assessment of that. So, by the way, he supported Mastriano for GOP governor, and Mastriano won like 45-20. That was a stomping in Pennsylvania by Mastriano. Two races where Trump endorsed candidates have not won. One where they lost, one where it's still up in the air. The one that lost, I don't know why Trump endorsed this fellow, Madison Cawthorn, the wild child, if you will, in North Carolina's 11th district. He lost by about 2%. An actual adult defeated him there. And Trump just endorsed him like a couple days ago, right? I don't know if you count that.
Well, I think what you have to remember about Trump is that he is not the man he is described as in the media. He's a guy with a heart. And I really believe that the endorsement of Madison Cawthorn like 3 days ago, right, was an expression of the king's mercy. Like, he just, you know.
He said,
felt bad for the kid.
Give the kid a second chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like everyone, you know, and it's, you know, obviously some of what the media was doing was gay shaming and sort of drawing attention to his relationship to some young man on his staff, something that would have never been done to a Democrat. But be that as it may, Cawthorn also, in the redistricting shuffle that all the states are going through, he chose a different district, so he wasn't really running with his people, and he was running against a state senator who was from that area. And so, you know, there's many things in play. Cawthorn should have won this thing easily, but I think a lot of people wanted to take him out.
Well, let me just say, because of a litany of personal foibles by the guy, I shed no tear at his loss. Okay. Not one. Hey, so let's go back in the Pennsylvania primary for Senate. Right now, with it's kind of bizarre, Dr. Oz, endorsed by President Trump, has a 2,500 vote lead, 0.2% over the hedge fund guy, David McCormick. But apparently, and Crom and I were trying to figure this out, there's still 29,000 mail-in ballots where McCormick's supposed to have an advantage that haven't been counted yet. Do you know why those haven't been counted and what's the likely outcome of that?
Some states like Florida count the ballots as they come in. Other states don't. And so that's why at election night you'll see, you know, Florida at 95% when everybody else is at 20 or 30. And, you know, I think that nobody really trusts, or some people don't trust counting the ballots before election day. And so that it's just a matter of, you know, each state does it their own way. And in Pennsylvania,
so Neil, Crom is looking puzzled, as am I. But so just ask Neil this question.
Neil, when I was watching Fox News last night, they were talking about the early returns from Pennsylvania, and they pointed out what you just said, that they don't start counting the votes that were cast the day of until the polls are closed. But then they also went on to say the first votes that are counted are the mail-in votes. And so when they were doing the first 3 or 4 or 5% of the vote count, they said these are the mail-in votes that are being counted first. So the question that I have is, where did the 29,000 absentee votes, aren't those mail-in votes?
Yeah, but you got to remember, Crom, there's like, what, a million counties in Pennsylvania, right?
Well, I think that's a slight exaggeration, Neil.
There's
quite a few.
A lot of these counties are run by, you know, the same sacks of donuts that have been running it for like 300 years. They don't always get to work at 9 o'clock. And so, you know, it's like some guy, there's going to be some loose stuff. I understand in Lancaster County, there were some coding issues with some of the ballots. And so, you know, I think that generally it's going to be a lot cleaner than 2020. I don't think we're going to see, you know, people putting cardboard over the windows, you know, after they throw out the Republican monitors, that kind of thing. I think if everything sort of holds, I expect Oz to hold on to his lead. And what you have is you have the spectacle of McCormick saying, I love Trump, and I really think he made a mistake not endorsing me. You have Barnett saying, I'm more Trumpier than Trump. And then you have Oz, the Trump-endorsed candidate. And, you know, you even go to like a place like Texas with Prescott Bush saying, I still begging, you know, for Trump endorsement. You know, it's like anybody who says they don't want Trump's endorsement is lying. And so the idea that Trump is not a factor is absurd. And again, you know, what do we compare it against? You have to put it in context. Look at the midterms in 1978. Look at the midterms in 1982. How many Democrats were saying, wow, I really wish Jimmy Carter would endorse me in this primary?
That would be zero.
Well, how about how many Democrats are asking Biden to endorse them?
Yeah, please campaign with me, Joe.
Yeah.
Not happening. So if we were playing poker right now, Neil, would you rather have Dr. Oz's hand or David McCormick's hand?
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Oz's hand because Oz is going to be stronger in more in districts with more populations.
Well,
because he's pulling not so much. McCormick's strong in the West, and I think that I'm not sure if Montgomery County's at 100% yet, but Oz is also pulling from non-political people, those unlikely voters that throw off the polls.
Well, I can't figure out the early vote that was counted, the mail-in vote that was counted at the very beginning of the counting went heavily for McCormick.
Yeah.
And so there's 29,000 absentee, which I guess are votes that came in from the mail. So it'll be very interesting. I hope you're right.
Neil W. McCabe, as always, what a fascinating analysis. And we'll have you back next week.
All right. Talk to you later, guys.
All right. Thanks very much. Back with our Middle Tennessee Fresh Forecast after this break.